The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to the John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The NFL stars of tomorrow find their new homes tonight. This is the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Our 2023 NFL Draft coverage continues here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Hope you're enjoying our look at the draft coverage tonight. Braden Suprenant, the coach, John Quintero. You guys are well-informed, I must say, and I'm doing my best to keep my head above water here as we get into the middle stages of the first round. The New York Jets are next up with the 15th overall pick, so we're just about halfway through the first round. Seven of the first 14 players selected out of the powerhouse SEC. There's been three quarterbacks taken so far. Bryce Young with the first pick from Alabama to the Panthers. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State went to the Texans. Anthony Richardson with the fourth pick out of Florida went to the Indianapolis Colts.
I was proud to be part of the global community.
And now we'll get the Jets. Go ahead.
That Make-A-Wish grants.
This young kid was really excited.
Only a couple days away, I'm joined by Kyle Stickles, a Make-A-Wish kid who battled and overcame bone cancer. Kyle's wish is to announce the first round pick of his favorite team, the New York Jets. I'd like all of you to join me in cheering on Kyle as his wish comes true. The floor is yours, Kyle. Go for it, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Goodell. Jets, Jets! Select Will McDonald, linebacker, Iowa State. Let's go! Yeah! Let's go!
What is he related to?
Will McDonald, the fourth, selected by the Jets, announced by the young Make-A-Wish youngster there. And he was really excited to be up on the stage, and he enjoyed his moment in the spotlight. And so Will McDonald is the selection of the Jets, guys. And
is that a reach if Westwood One doesn't have
a bio on him?
They did not have a Will McDonald the fourth.
Do you want to make one up real quick?
6'4", 239 pounds, outside linebacker at Iowa State. I had him going in the first round, honestly. And coach, I know coach mentioned his name. Before I had him going like late first round. Jets go out there and get him and help their defense out a little bit more than they. Than they had. I mean, they only need a D tackle or inside linebacker, and I like the move for Robert Saleh and company for the New York Jets, coach.
Okay,
your thoughts?
A couple of things here. First of all, they go after Will McDonald the fourth, the kid I talked about out of Iowa State, I should say. I think that they wanted to go and originally take an offensive tackle. I think they wanted to take Darnell Wright, the kid out of Tennessee that ended up going to the Chicago Bears. That was the guy that they were really looking for. But then they realized that they needed an edge rusher after Lucas Van Ness went with the 13th overall pick, just a couple of spots ahead of them. And I'll be honest with you, what is going on with Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia? He was a projected, top 10, top 12, maybe top 13 guy, and he's fallen. I had Will McDonald, Braden, like you. I had him going a little bit later, towards the tail end of the first round. So this is a little bit of a reach, I would say, because I think Nolan Smith probably graded out better than Will McDonald. But, again, maybe with what they're doing defensively, maybe his strengths and weaknesses add up a little bit better than Nolan Smith. But I think they really wanted to take an offensive lineman.
I think so, too. I had them taking an offensive lineman coach. I actually had him, like I mentioned before, taking Broderick Jones, who obviously went one spot in front of him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who traded up to go get Broderick Jones. So I think that's what took a long time. Obviously, we waited a long time for the Jets. A lot of these teams are picking very quickly, and the Jets took their entire allotment of time. And, you know, we are able to go to break and come back before we got the Jets pick. But, you know, a little bit of a reach for me, and I think you bring up a good point with Nolan Smith. I mean, Nolan Smith projected on a lot of mock drafts to be a top 10 pick. You know, some people had him going to Atlanta, others to Vegas, or maybe even to Philadelphia at that pick. You know, I think that was before Jalen Carter ended up falling down the list. But, you know, the fact that Nolan Smith's still available, I think, is huge for some of the teams later on in this draft that needs some defensive players, you know, like a Seattle Seahawks that might be able to get him later in this draft as they're up in a couple of picks after they took a cornerback. They could end up with a cornerback and an outside linebacker and Nolan Smith. Have yourself a pretty good defensive draft there in the first round, Coach.
Well, the Washington Commanders make their first selection in the post-Daniel Snyder era here. They are the number 16 pick, exactly halfway through the first round of the 2023 NFL draft. We'll see what the Commanders do. Of course, they've turned their quarterback reins over to Sam Howell, who started one game last year, if I recall. I think they beat the Cowboys in the final game of the regular season, but Howell's going to be the guy next year as they have parted ways with Tyler Heinicke and Carson Wentz has gone by the wayside. Carson Wentz hook up anywhere? Does anybody recall?
Not as of right now. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, I don't think so. He's still looking for employment. But it's amazing how quickly you got to get it when you can in the NFL. Because as soon as it goes against you, boy, they turn their back on you pretty fast. But this is a new beginning for the Washington Commanders. And Ron Rivera done a nice job there keeping that team afloat while they've had so many issues and problems with ownership and all of that. It's been highly detailed over the last several years. And somehow Rivera keeps his team focused on the task, and we'll see if the Commanders can finally get unleashed now that they're out from underneath Daniel Snyder. But what do you guys have here? Offense, defense, what?
Secondary for me.
I had him taking a cornerback.
Cornerback.
They got the pick of the litter. Hey, they got the pick of the litter. There was about three or four guys they could take here in the secondary.
This guy Gonzalez has fallen all the way from the way top all the way to 16 and maybe beyond.
I had him taking Deontay Banks. I think Joey Porter Jr. is available. I think that'd be a big pick. You mentioned
Ryan
Christian
Branch,
Gonzalez.
If you wanted to go with safety.
You know, I had later on in the draft Emmanuel Forbes potentially being drafted, out of Mississippi State. But, I think we had the pick just kind of come in. We don't have the full audio on it, but we do have the breakdown of who the Washington Commanders ended up picking.
Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback, Mississippi State.
Levis claps his hands, gets a snap. They set up a screen rush. Intercepted! Intercepted! It's Forbes, and he's going to take it all the way! 40, 30, 20, 10, touchdown! Emmanuel Forbes!
Forbes has six career pick sixes, the most in FBS history. Half of them came in the fall, along with 10 breakups and 46 tackles, earning him second-team All-America honors. The ball skills are undeniable, but Forbes is just 166 pounds, so he'll need to bulk up to handle NFL physicality.
Oh, got to handle that NFL physicality. But I'll tell you one thing, those cornerbacks, I find them to be really among the most amazing athletes in sports. I don't know how they do it. Keeping up with those wide receivers, darting all over the field, and coming up to put hits on running backs and handle the blocks of the pulling guards. I think cornerback's one of the most difficult positions in sports, Coach.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, they're probably the best athletes on the field, to be honest with you. A lot of times, maybe the tight end because he's big, strong, fast, and, you know, can get up the field and got good hands and all that. But those cornerbacks, so what they got to go against week in and week out and run, run protection and all that good stuff. But this guy's got, he's been a 2-year starter, and you know, at Mississippi State, and you know, Mike Leach, of course, passed away, but you know, this guy got a lot of work in practice. I mean, he's got great closing speed. There's a lot to like about about this guy. I think that, you know, when you look at the defensive backs, I mean, Christian Gonzalez by far and away was the number one defensive back, and I don't know what's going on with him, but he's still there. We saw Witherspoon go. Joey Porter, probably the third-ranked guy. And then there's Forbes, and after that you got Cam Smith from South Carolina and Deontay Banks from Maryland. So, you know, Forbes went, you know, maybe a couple of spots high, but kind of in the area he was supposed to go.
Well, cornerbacks have been certainly, you know, probably the most popular, among the most popular choices here. We've had three of them taken already in the first 16 picks of the draft. And now it's up to the New England Patriots, guys. And, you know, they swapped with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know. The Patriots, they've been a little, for them, they've been down the last couple of years. But I still Yep. always believe in their selection process. Braden, are you still bullish on the Patriots, or have they lost their touch?
No, I am still bullish on the Patriots. I mean, it's going to be some time to try to make up the Tom Brady factor. Not only Tom Brady being on your team, but, you know, Tom Brady being able to get guys to go play for your team on a super discount that you see in the NFL, especially with the salary cap. So they're going to have to try to create that on their own and trying to build all the way around with their players. I had the Patriots taking an offensive tackle in this spot, but that was before all the offensive tackles kind of flew off the board. I'm very curious to see if they, you know, try to, you know, transition into being maybe a picking a defensive back here, or maybe something on their defense, you know, to help improve their defense a little bit. I think that would be very intriguing for New England, obviously. But as of right now, we had still yet to get the pick. But, you know, cornerback was their next highest thing, next to offensive tackle, with a lot of offensive tackles off the board. And a guy like Christian Gonzalez, who has really fallen off the top when he was expected to be the first cornerback taken. I mean, that might be where the New England Patriots decide to go.
Well, let's not forget Joey Porter Jr. is available. They could go secondary, and I think we'd have a hard time criticizing if they went that direction. But how about the receiver out of Ohio State who was supposed to go, you know, somewhere, you know, maybe between, you know, 11 and 16, that
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, that guy, I could see them going after him.
They need some weapons for Mac Jones. I mean, you know, you can hear from Patriots fans all the time, he's the most accurate quarterback, you know, with throws over a certain amount. Like, I don't really care. He hasn't been able to get you too many wins right now. If you want to pick and choose stats, I mean,
they did add Juju Smith-Schuster in the offseason.
Which is good. I mean, they need something else, though, because before they could win with Tom Brady, and they didn't necessarily need to load up on wideouts and weapons. They've always had the running back by committee that just incredibly frustrated fantasy football owners. They always had a good line, and then they could kind of piecemeal their wideout core. But with Mac Jones, you're going to have to give him a little bit more than that two tight end set that he's been working with. So a receiver would be a good find for them as well. But, you know, it's very interesting to see what they do. And, you know, if you want to take a quick break and come back to the Patriots pick.
All right, we'll do that. Come back, more draft coverage. We got the entire first round for you. We are halfway through, 16 picks down, 16 to go. Coach, Braden, and I, we're here for the duration. More NFL draft coverage coming your way on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, doing our best to hold down the fort here during the 2023 NFL Draft, which is live from Kansas City. And our coverage continuing here on 97.3 The Fan, Chris Ello, and along with my two experts here, Braden Surprenant and the coach, John Quintero. You guys are doing a whale of a job, but what do you say as we get to the midway point of the first round, we bring in a real draft expert to the proceedings?
We get the Patriots pick first.
First, the Patriots pick at 17, then expert commentary.
With these 17 picks, in the 2023 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Christian Gonzalez, defensive back, Oregon.
Christian Gonzalez, cornerback, Oregon.
On the naked bootleg, he gets free. Now will throw it. Pick intercepted. Down the sideline he comes. Gonzalez still on his feet. Finally to the 30-yard line and out of bounds.
Four interceptions, seven breakups, and 50 tackles for Gonzalez in his lone season with the Ducks. The Colorado transfer has all the physical tools, especially the speed to run with receivers. But technique and ball skills desert him at times.
All right, there you go. The breakdown on Christian Gonzalez, who is, had been really predicted, widely predicted, to go a little bit earlier in the draft than he did. He ends up at number 17 with the New England Patriots. And now we turn our attention to our real draft expert. I got my cheat sheet right in front of me, guys. And my cheat sheet consists of Eddie Brown's top 100 picks for 2023 out of the San Diego Union Tribune. And Eddie Brown joins us here on 97.3 The Fan, our draft coverage. Eddie, thanks so much. How are you enjoying the draft so far?
Oh, it's been exciting. It's kind of like Christmas Day for me. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
What sticks out for you? Anything early on the number three situation with the Texans acquiring the pick from the Cardinals and getting Will Anderson or C.J. Stroud or both? Or what stood out to you?
Well, that was a big move. That's something I wrote about in the primer. It was something that we put online and had as an exclusive if you subscribe to the paper. But I thought that was a possibility that they could move up. I knew they liked Will Anderson a lot. It didn't make sense to me that they would pass on a quarterback. So I kind of like, well, best of both worlds is you go up and you get the number one player on my board, probably the number one player on your board outside of maybe Bryce Young and also Lance Stroud. So I thought that was a great move by the Texans. A lot of shrew moves going on. I like the Cardinals moving down, then moving back up to get Paris Johnson. That's somebody I had been drafting at three. I like what the Patriots just did with Christian Gonzalez. I thought I was a little low on him sliding to them at 14, but they were able to move back and still get that their guy. So there's a lot of shrewd deal making happening in the first round so far.
Go ahead, Braden, and I'll finish it up with Eddie.
Eddie, I wanted to know a little bit about a couple of players that kind of fell down the list. I mean, obviously, Jalen Carter, we knew about his offseason or issues that he had off the field. He fell, a significant amount of spots. Guys like Peter Skoronski of offensive tackle out of Northwestern, fall significant spots. And then, of course, Christian Gonzalez, who we just talked about, just going to the New England Patriots, another guy that had kind of fallen off. Obviously, it's a lot different. Everybody's board is different. But, why do you think these three players fell? And do you think they fell further than what was expected going into tonight?
I think Gonzalez was kind of the bigger surprise for me, even though I did have him going down a little further than everybody else. I think everybody had the top two corners, what people perceive as the top two corners, going off the board in the top seven picks, either to Detroit and Las Vegas, or, some people thought maybe to Seattle, although I didn't really think that was going to happen because that was something that was surprised that, they normally don't take corners that high. But that was them, I think, staying true to their board because, well, Anderson was off the board and so was Richardson, and those were two players I thought they were targeting. Carter, it's been well, the story's been told, everything he's been dealing with off the field with the speeding and the reckless driving, and also he had a terrible pro day. Clearly it was like a week after all of that broke. And also some just maturity issues that's come out about, he's kind of like an Allen Iverson in practice. he's a little bit of a savant on the field, but doesn't really, kind of has a motor that is, goes half speed sometimes. And I think ending up in Philadelphia was a great place for him because he has two former mentors in Jordan Davis and Nakobe Dean, who are already there that were drafted by the Eagles last year. I think that, like I said, Skoronski is really just basically based on his arm length. People are questioning whether he can be tackle in the NFL. My point is he kind of reminds me of Zach Martin. Zach Martin can play any position in the NFL. I think Skoronski is that talented. I don't think he fell. I think if he would have fell past the Titans there, I think that would have been him dropping. But he could have easily gone, anywhere from the Raiders at seven all the way down. But Gonzalez falling all the way back and being the third corner off the board, I think that's been a surprise.
All right. I want to remind everyone, Eddie's going to join me tomorrow on our regular talk show between 10 and 2 tomorrow. He'll join us right about 12:35. And, Eddie, I'm going to tell you in advance, make sure you've had lunch. Make sure you're hydrated. Man, I'm going to fire a bunch of questions at you. I'm going to be nice right now and quick because I know we want to get back to the draft and you got work to do. And we'll look forward to reading everything in tomorrow morning's paper. My question to you right now, the Chargers, they've got a pick coming up here in a couple of spots. There's plenty of good football players. I mean, there's some guys who are supposed to go higher in this draft. I mean, I'm looking at that wide receiver out of Ohio State right now. He hasn't gone yet. Jackson Smith, Nigba. I know you had him going, you know, kind of the middle of the first round. A lot of people had him middle of the first round. He's still on the board. Is that a possibility? What do you got for the Chargers coming up here in a couple of picks?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to definitely be a weapon for Justin Herbert. I kind of was sneaky thinking maybe one of the running backs would be there for them, considering everything that's going on with Austin Eckler. But yes, Jackson Smith and Jigba would fall right into their lap. I think Jordan Addison would be a great pick out of USC. He has a connection there. The receivers coach is helped recruit him at Maryland and then actually moved to Pittsburgh and got him to land and come to Pittsburgh. So there's a history there. I think that would work. And I think Michael Mayer, if he stays on the board, I think he's a possibility there too. So there's a lot of weapons still available, and I think they'll have their pick considering there's only a couple picks to go.
Appreciate it. And, you know, get back to work, but thanks for all the insight. I tell you one thing, man, you got your hands full dealing with the coach John Quintero on that show tomorrow. I know he's going to be coming after you, but we appreciate the insight and all your great stuff on the radio. Thanks so much for being with us.
No, I appreciate it, guys. I'll get a solid 8 tonight. I'll be ready.
There we go. All right, Eddie Brown from the Union Tribune, and I tell you one thing. Everybody was asking Chris, what was your did you prepare for the draft show? I said yes. I read Eddie Brown's story on the top 100 guys. I'm ready to go.
That gets you more prepared than Todd McShay or Mel Kiper.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I've been feeling like I know all these guys. We had a couple of picks while we were talking to Eddie there, so let's get you caught up. I think we left off at Christian Gonzalez to the Patriots at number 17, the cornerback. At number 18, the Detroit Lions selected a linebacker out of Iowa, Jack Campbell, a little bit off the radar, so much so that we don't have a bio on Jack Campbell. So we'll talk about him in just a moment. But in the meantime, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have drafted at the number 19 spot, and they have taken University of Pittsburgh defensive tackle Kalijah Kancey.
Kalijah Kancey, defensive tackle, Pitt. Kancey is the Panthers' first unanimous All-America since Aaron Donald. He had 7.5 sacks while also earning ACC Defensive Player of the Year honors. Kancey lacks ideal size and length, but makes up for that with elite explosiveness, a nonstop motor, and multiple pass rush moves.
Well, that's pretty good company to be in anytime you're the last to do something since Aaron Donald. So, Kalijah Kancey will have a lot to live up to there with the Tampa Bay Bucs with the 19th pick. The Seattle Seahawks are next with number 20, and their pick should be in shortly. But, Braden, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about what the Lions did with their second first-round pick. Now, the Lions had already taken running back Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama with the 12th pick. At 18, Jack Campbell from Iowa, and a little bit of a surprise to you.
Yeah, I don't really know the logic on that. I mean, I'm sure he's a great, I'm sure he's going to be a great player, Chris. But like to me, again, it's all about, you know, when you draft these guys and at certain spots. I'm always a big believer in drafting best available and getting guys or getting the more bang for your buck. I mean, a guy like Jack Campbell, not necessarily high on a lot of people's rankings, a guy that he probably could have got in the second round and probably a lot further if you look at a guy like Jack Campbell. I mean, we didn't even have a bio on him. I mean, he's not even like the second ranked Iowa Hawkeye on the list. I mean, if you start scrolling down through some of these rankings that, you know, the so-called experts put out, I mean, you have to go a very long way before you run into Jack Campbell, a linebacker out of Iowa. So I thought, you know, not to say he's a bad player, but I feel like if you're Detroit, you could get somebody else and get Jack Campbell later. And same thing with Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, I think Coach and I agree that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a hell of a football player at the next level, especially what he could do in the passing game on top of running. But, I just feel like they could have got him at 18 and could have got an even better player above. They could have got a corner, which they need. You know, remember they traded Jeff Okuda. They could have got one of these corners that fell, a Christian Gonzalez, you know, at number 12, and then go back and get Jahmyr Gibbs at 18. Instead, they get Jack Campbell, who's ranked, you know, in the 50s and 60s in the top 100 prospects, a guy you could get in the second round. I feel like they've reached on both their picks. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not.
Well, let me duck one quick thing on Jack Campbell. He was a Butkus Award winner, though, Coach, and that always sticks out in my mind.
Well, you know, I think when you look at the linebacking core, I'm not sure the linebacking core is, you know, the best I've seen in recent memory. I mean, Trenton Simpson, the linebacker out of Clemson, a lot of people had him, you know, maybe the number one linebacker. And Jack Campbell actually was rated fairly high, but, you know, some people had him as a first rounder. Some had him, as Braden said, second round, you know, maybe top 10 of the second round. But, you know, the guy's got some ability. He's got an interesting size at 6'5". 245. Maybe he can play, you know, if they want, maybe they can play him out on the outside and be a little bit of a rusher. I don't know what their game plan is with him. I am a little surprised he got taken there. But sometimes, you know, Braden, this draft has gotten a little bit goofy, and normally you want to take the best available player. But some of these teams, that they need a certain position so badly, and they're starting to kind of look and say, well, that guy may not be there in the second round when we pick. We better get him now. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it turns out to be a complete and utter failure.
I mean, they hit on two of their needs. They need a running back and an inside linebacker. But they have 3 second-round picks. They picked the third pick in the second round, the 17th pick in the second round, and the 24th pick in the second round. I just think you could get Jack Campbell somewhere in the second round and then get additional first round type talent if you really think Jack Campbell is one of those guys. And then you're going home with, you know, maybe 3 first round type draft picks if you really think Jack Campbell's that high.
Jack Campbell
in the second round.
Mark my words, guys. Jack Campbell's going to be the next Zach Thomas.
There you go.
There you go. Led the nation in tackles this year.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I feel like he could get somebody else and Jack Campbell.
I'm giving you a hard time, Braden. I have no idea.
Zach Thomas, that's the second Dolphins reference out of
the Dolphins don't have
Dolphin over here.
Dolphins have no picks today, so I have to throw a couple of references in somehow. The Seattle Seahawks are going to have the next pick at number 20. The Seahawks have already drafted once tonight. They had the number 5 overall pick, and they selected cornerback Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. Pretty big time selection for Seattle there in the number 5 spot. Now they come back at number 20. Seahawks coming off a season in which they went 9-8. They were right there for a playoff spot in the NFC. And so to have 2 number 1 picks coming off a berth in the playoffs, Geno Smith was a revelation, Coach. I mean, come on. Nobody had that predicted last year, right?
No, and you know what? To his credit, think about all the trials and tribulations he's been through in his career. And for him to have such a great year and earn that big contract, and I know it, you know, by most standards, it's a team-friendly contract. But you know what? It says a lot about who he is and what type of character he has. I mean, he's been a backup after, you know, failing early in his career as a starter. There's a real sign of a guy that the game probably means something to, and a lot of great perseverance over, you know, a lot of tough times throughout the course of his career. But he's hung with it, and more power to him.
All right, well, Geno Smith, does he get somebody to throw the ball to, Braden? Seattle already went with defense. What do they do here in the second selection in the first round?
Well, I had them taking the defensive end in Miles Murphy at this spot, you know, just kind of loading up on defense, you know. But, you know, maybe they get a weapon for a guy like Geno Smith. Maybe they go out and get a receiver.
They still got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they're all right there.
Get another guy. I mean,
yeah. Kenneth Walker takes over running back. Our guy Rashad Penny goes on to the Eagles, and we'll see what the Seahawks, but the Seahawks were definitely a surprise last year. Nobody had them going to the playoffs, and they ended up in the playoffs. So,
well, they thought as soon as Russell Wilson was gone, the magic was gone, right?
And
they actually did better without him than than Denver did with him. So, yeah, I think it's interesting where they're drafting. I mean, I had Jackson Smith Nigma at going to the Chargers the next pick. So, you know, I don't know where he's at this, and you know, I
no
think
wide receivers have been taken yet.
And I got it's funny. I got Jaxon Smith, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison all going to the Chargers, Ravens, and Vikings back to back to back. So I don't know if you're about to get a receiver run, but you know, you're in the range of teams now that need receivers, and this is to me a spot where you can get receivers. Teams that are playoff contenders and just need an extra weapon here or there, I think that's a good spot to draft a receiver instead of wasting a top 10 pick on a guy, unless the guy's, you know, Megatron or something like that. He's Calvin Johnson. But, you know, we should be getting a pick shortly, still waiting on Westwood One. But, you know, I'm really curious to see who the Seahawks pick.
Yeah, Nigba, you know, probably the best receiver in this draft. I think your guy from TCU, Johnston's a really solid player. Jordan Addison, I think what Eddie said, I'm maybe buying into that. We'll see if Tom Telesco buys into it, that the coach that's now with the Chargers, you know, recruited him to Maryland, and we'll see where that goes when they pick here.
All right.
Local girls flag players who are pioneers in flag football growth. These young men and women embody the NFL values of respect, integrity, resiliency, and responsibility to their teams. Congratulations on your accomplishments in your academic and football careers. Now to make the selection, please welcome Bethany Yoribe. Go ahead, Bethany.
With the 20th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Jaxon Njigba, wide receiver, Ohio State.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver, Ohio State.
Looks right, looks left, throws long on the right side toward the end zone, ball in the air.
Caught
Jaxon
it!
Jaxon Smith-Njigba's got it!
Yeah!
Touchdown, Jaxon Smith-Njigba!
We barely saw Smith-Njigba last fall thanks to a hamstring injury. In 2021, there were 95 catches, 1,600 yards, and a three-touchdown Rose Bowl. He lacks the speed to run past defenders or do much damage after the catch, but Smith-Njigba has sure hands and is super tough over the middle.
I will say one thing about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, guys. In all my time watching college football, I don't think I've ever seen a guy have a better game than he had in the Rose Bowl a couple years ago against Utah. 15 catches, 3 touchdowns, 347 yards, coach. I never heard of anything quite like that. Now, obviously, that Rose Bowl, Ohio State sat out Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, but Smith-Njigba made himself a lot of money that day.
Yeah, he certainly did. And again, last year he only played in three games, 62 snaps last year. But all of his workouts were good. And, you know, all you needed to see was that tape of that game that you're talking about right there. And you're going to line up. I'm a little surprised he's still on the board to and go as deep in the first round. And most people had him going, you know, anywhere from 12 to maybe 16.
That was a hell of a receiving core in 2020 there, Chris.
Not bad. They had Marvin Harrison Jr. too.
And Chris Olave.
Olave and Wilson. And then Smith-Njigba gets in the Rose Bowl because Olave and Wilson sat out the game. And this guy comes in and goes for 347 yards. And I know that they said in the little clip there that Njigba doesn't have the speed to do anything after the catch. He sure did a lot after the catch in that game. He had a 50-yard touchdown, he had a 57-yard touchdown, and he had a 30-yard touchdown. So we'll see. It's a different game in the pros, but I'm just saying for one day, nobody was ever better than this guy.
Yeah, he runs a 4.54. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's a slowpoke.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I would imagine you might see a run of receivers here.
Okay.
So we haven't seen the next pick yet, but I know Zay Flowers was a popular pick for the Chargers in a lot of different mock drafts. Jordan Addison, obviously the USC product, I think that would probably be a better move for the Chargers in terms from a marketing standpoint. And you know the way the Chargers operate, coach, that they're trying to be everything about LA as possible. You know, so why not draft the guy that played at the Coliseum for his college?
Well, then I think you got to go with the quarterback, Will Levis. He's available here.
Oh, yeah, he's so L.A., Chris.
I'm just giving you guys a crazy time.
The Marching and Chowder Society of Will Levis.
They haven't selected this poor guy. He's still sitting in the draft room. But we know the Chargers aren't going to take a quarterback. They're pretty good at the quarterback.
Unless they're going to take Will
right
Levis
now.
To save money in a Dean Spanos special, huh?
Dean Spanos move here.
Yeah, we're going to have Richard in Paradise Hills rioting with us, dude.
he
tomorrow.
Won't be happy.
Where's Richard in Paradise Hills?
I don't know. We got the
tomorrow?
Chargers pick here.
21st pick in the 2023 NFL draft. The Los Angeles Chargers select Quentin Johnston, wide receiver, TCU.
Quentin Johnston, wide receiver, TCU.
Max retreats, throws it underneath, catch is made by Quentin Johnston. Got to make a man miss, and he does, and here he goes. Now the right-hand sideline, Quentin Johnston in a full sprint for 76 yards.
Johnston is big and fast and can score any time he touches the football. The 6'3", 208-pound Horned Frog was a two-time first-team All-Big 12 selection. Scouts do see some inconsistencies in his game, and he only caught six touchdowns last season, but big downfield targets are few and far between.
Good for Quentin.
That's a large Horned Frog.
Quentin Johnston, six catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown in that famous semifinal game last year when your Horned Frogs, Braden, knocked off the Michigan Wolverines. You got to be happy to see your TCU guy go.
Absolutely, especially since they didn't invite him to the draft because they didn't think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. So I'm glad that NFL got to eat that as he watches it at Dave and Buster's.
Not that Braden's holding it against the league or anything.
I mean, come on. The guy was expected to be a number one, a first-round draft pick throughout the entire offseason. Then right before the draft, they're like, well, we don't think you're going to be a number one. We don't think you're going to be a first-round pick, but we think Will Levis is. So we're going to invite Will Levis to the draft and not Quentin Johnston. Johnston's a great football player. Obviously with his size, he's a lot faster than people think with his size. I think you could see that in the highlight that they played on his big touchdown run against Michigan. I mean, just some speed that is very, you know, it's a level of speed that you don't expect at a guy that big. I think he's a huge target. He might not have the stats last year as opposed to the year before, but you know, in his junior season or the season before, I think maybe it was a sophomore year, when TCU was about 500, I mean, he was a man playing with boys in most of the competition he was playing against. I think it's a good fit for the Chargers. I think they needed a receiver like Quentin Johnston. And, you know, I think that's a big pick by Tom Telesco, who has notoriously had really good drafts.
I can't wait, Chris, to see Braden come in to work with his Charger jersey
that's
and Johnston
not
on the back.
Absolutely not.
Huh?
He's happy right now, Coach.
We're talking about the Marching and Chowder Society. Well, Quentin Johnston, Marching and Chowder Society, right there with Mr. Soprenant.
I'm gonna rep Quentin Johnston, but I'll never put anything Chargers on my body ever again.
Hey, let me talk about him a little bit. He's a really talented kid. There's no question. He got to catch the ball better, though, for me. He lets the ball get to his body. He's got to use his hands a little bit more. I think he could be dynamite in the red zone. He's 6'4". You know, I don't know, 210, 215, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think he's going to be a damn good player if the Chargers don't screw him up.
Which is very possible.
That never happens, guys. I think he's in good hands with the Chargers organization. I think everybody within the sound of my listening voice will agree with that 100%.
The last Horned Frog they had kind of worked out for him. So
not bad, right?
Yeah,
number five out of college. Yeah, I recall him. Ended up wearing number 21.
I thought Quentin Johnston would get drafted a little bit later. I thought he would get picked maybe by Buffalo late first round, especially after how all the mock drafts had him kind of falling off the list. That's a good spot for him. The fact that he's the number two receiver picked, I think, is huge. Not only for Quentin but the program at TCU. And fired up for Quentin Johnston to get drafted in the first round, and we'll see how many Horned Frogs get drafted throughout the draft. That's what I'm going to be paying attention for. It's funny, Coach and I were discussing this, Chris. As, you know, lifelong San Diegans that don't really have an NFL team anymore, you know, we don't root for the favorite animal that we had growing up like you do. But, it's just a different type of watching the draft now, whereas before all I would care about is what the Chargers draft. And now I'm really more interested in seeing where all the TCU Horned Frogs go, and I'm interested in seeing where a lot of these college football players end up going after watching them play over the last 3 or 4 years in college football. That kind of difference between being an NFL fan watching the NFL draft and that college football fan watching the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's interesting not having the same connection to the Chargers as we once did. I mean, everything was about the Chargers pick, and now it's just one of the first 21 that have been made so far in the NFL draft today. Quentin Johnson to the Chargers. We go to a quick break. We still have 10 picks in the first round. Stick around for more NFL draft coverage on 97.3 The Fan.
The offensive line better be a lot better. Welcome back to the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Baltimore Ravens select Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College.
Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College.
Play fake, Jakovic rolls right, looking down the middle of the field. He aims for Flowers, who's out there, and he makes the catch miraculously. Touchdown, Boston College. What a grab by Zay Flowers. He's the Eagle in the end zone.
Flowers' final season at BC included career highs in catches, yards, and touchdowns, making him the program's all-time leader in each category. Flowers plays bigger than his frame, is quick off the line, and does damage after the catch. He might drop too many passes, but the playmaking negates that.
All right, Zay Flowers goes to the Baltimore Ravens, where he will indeed have Lamar Jackson throwing passes to him. Jackson and the Ravens reached agreement on that 5-year contract today. $260 million, by the way, for Lamar Jackson. And now, along with that, he gets himself a new wide receiver in Zay Flowers. And our guy, Braden Suprenant, on the money here, Coach, said there'd be a run of wide receivers coming up after that first one was taken. Smith and Jigba with the 20th pick. And guess what? Three in a row now on the wide receivers. Braden, nice job.
Thank you. That was the only one of three picks on my mock draft the first round I hit. I had Zay Flowers of the Ravens at this pick. But the receiver run is right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings do the exact same thing and maybe draft Jordan Addison next.
Make it four Addison, in a row, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Addison could go because he's probably the fourth rated receiver. But for me, he wasn't the same player. He had some injuries at USC, and I don't know what was all going on. I know he had a little bit of a hamstring, but, you know, if he'd have come out a year ago, he'd have probably been a very high, you know, maybe a top 10, top 12 pick when he was coming out of Pittsburgh as a Biletnikoff Award winner. But, you know, as far as Zay Flower, 4-year starter at Boston, not a real big guy, 5'9", about 170, elite speed, though, at 4.32, another guy that, you know, has to catch the ball a little bit better, but he did leave with all the different career records in receiving and yardage and touchdowns, all that good stuff, and a talented guy, but, you know, a lot like Johnson, got to do a little bit more, a better job of catching the football, especially in the NFL. I mean, you can't have guys dropping passes in the NFL.
Not at an elite level.
Can't afford to drop any in the NFL. Well, we're coming up on the, boy, I tell you, it's flying along, guys. We've got 9 picks left in the first round, and Baltimore Ravens get their wide receiver. Minnesota Vikings, our guy Kevin O'Connell, coming off a very successful first season there as a head coach of the Vikings, and we'll see what they do here. I mean, you look at who's available. Tight ends are up near the top of the board right now. Braden, Dalton Kincaid of Utah, Michael Mayer of Notre Dame. Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia. Coach talked about him being a top 10 possibility. He's fallen all the way down here. He's still not picked in the number 24 slot. And Joey Porter Jr., cornerback. Vikings need some defense, right? I mean, they scored plenty last year. They couldn't stop anybody, though, Coach.
Hey, our buddy Eddie Brown actually had Minnesota taking Will Levis.
Yeah?
I saw Will Levis here, and I also saw a Hendon Hooker here on a couple of mock drafts.
So you guys think it's time to...
a little high.
I don't think so. I mean,
you think it's time to put a little pressure on Kirk Cousins there?
Well, I mean, I think Kirk Cousins for the Vikings is exactly what they expect. I mean, he wins games the regular season, gets you to the playoffs, but I don't feel like he's going to get you to a Super Bowl championship.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you.
I feel like, you know, he's taking the Vikings as far as he could take the Vikings, because, you know, I just don't think he's a solid NFL quarterback, but I don't view him as a perennial, you know, Super Bowl contender, and he's probably one of the holdbacks that the Vikings have on top of not being able to start anybody.
You know, Kevin O'Connell is an offensive guy, and he'd probably love to have Jordan Addison, but they ought to go after the cornerback, the kid, I believe, still on the board.
Joey Porter
Jr.
Well, they could go Joey Porter, or they could go the kid out of South Carolina, Cam Smith.
Well, the Vikings would be, I mean, I don't know that one player changes everything. Because, I mean, you know, everybody focuses so much on the first-round pick, and they say, well, they need defense, and why'd they select offense? You can select offense here and then get defense with your next six picks and say, well, we addressed our defense with all of our second, third, fourth-round, fifth picks, et cetera. But, you know, we'll see. The Vikings, remember, Adam Thielen, they let him go. That other wide receiver spot, Jalen Reagor, was not much of an addition last year coming over. That trade did not work out well for Minnesota. KJ Osborne, is he ready to step up and start? Maybe they will go with another wide receiver to
they have to hit on this.
Kevin
too.
O'Connell, another weapon.
They only got five picks, so they're gonna. Well, they don't have a second Thielen. Round.
Remember,
pick.
They let him go, so maybe they'll go after Jordan Addison. But I also think they could go secondary.
All right, well, we'll see shortly with the Vikings, but
it's their only pick for the next two rounds, because they don't have a second-round pick.
Okay, well, that's
just saying.
They better make it work.
Just saying.
The pressure's on the Vikings.
I'm just glad the Vikings didn't draft the TCU Horned Frog, because the last two times they've done that, it's just not been good. Well,
Who were they?
Well, I had Jeff Gladney. Rest in peace. He was a good kid. You know, got himself into some bad trouble.
Mm, boy.
But he, you know, he was starting to come back at the end, but... Him, and then, you know, and then you mentioned they didn't draft Reagor, but Reagor wasn't very good for them either.
No.
He wasn't really good for Philly either.
No, he wasn't very good for Philly. Didn't they make a straight up swap for him?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with that's nervous about TCU receivers, is they haven't really developed well. I mean, Josh Dotson was arguably one of the best receivers in college football when he played for TCU, and he didn't do anything for Washington. And then you go look at Jalen Reagor, first-round draft pick, was a bust for Philadelphia. So maybe that's the nervousness on Quentin Johnston. I mean, the track record for TCU receivers hasn't been very good, whereas offensive linemen for TCU has really done extremely well, which you would think a team from the Big 12 that scores a lot of points would have better receivers than they have offensive linemen, but they actually produce some of the best offensive linemen in the National Football League and probably the worst at developing receivers.
Well, Coach, it's your pick. Who are you picking for Kevin O'Connell?
I'm going to go with the SC guy.
I think I'm going to go with the SC guy, yeah.
And you guys are both going with the wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so.
I like Jordan Addison. I would just, you know, he got off to a good start last year. Then he was hurt, and he'd play a game, and then he'd be out another game. And I was a little disappointed, I guess, because I like to watch SC play, and they had Caleb Williams, and I thought they'd have been a lot more dynamic. Not that Jordan Addison could play in the secondary and make a tackle against Utah, but it would have been nice if he could have played the entire year and seen what kind of numbers he could have put up.
I got to tell you, that was the worst tackling game I've ever seen.
Nobody on that SC team.
In college football history.
I got news for you. That'll be the worst tackling game you ever see.
Yeah, it was really, really, really bad.
I could have got 11 drunks out of my dad's old bar and tackled better than
that. That's why Utah doesn't recruit players that SC recruits. I think they displayed that in the championship game.
Yeah, that was hard to believe.
That was the worst defensive performance ever. That's a big run. I mean, SC, they used to be legendary defensive players, and I don't know what that was last year.
Ronnie Lott must not have been a happy man.
They look like a 7-on-7 team.
Only thing I can tell you is they better use that NIL money on defense this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that they turned the offense around pretty good. That quarterback's pretty good at USC.
Yeah, he sure is.
Coming back for another year. All right, the Vikings pick is in. We'll get the announcement here shortly before we get to the top of the hour, and then we'll be getting set, not really to wind it down. We still got a little ways to go. You know, as fast as they've gone, guys, it's still been 3.5. It's going to be a good 3.5 hours.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I couldn't spend more enjoyable 3.5 hours with two guys like you.
Let me tell
you,
having
a Thursday night. What more can a guy want on a Thursday night?
As Marv Levy used to say, where else would you rather be?
Having the time of my life.
Great, man. You know what? I would have been all irritated. I'd have been sitting at home here. If we didn't do this draft show, I'd be watching the draft, and I'd be all irritated because we weren't doing the draft.
I agree. I'd be doing the exact same thing. I would be sitting at home
not watching the draft if we weren't doing this. So that's the difference between you guys.
Gotta be playing softball.
Yeah, I'd watching retape game. Of Michael Jordan hitting a 15-foot jumper.
That's right. Hey, maybe here you guys go. Are going to hit one.
Let's go to the podium.
23rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC.
Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC.
He's going to throw it long. Does. Caught by Addison at the 20. Stays on her feet. He'll go all the way. One play, 75 yards. Touchdown, USC, Jordan Addison.
Addison is dangerous inside and out. He's a polished pass catcher with experience in two systems. 2 years ago at Pitt, he won the Biletnikoff Award as the nation's top receiver with 100 catches and 17 scores. Lacking elite size and speed, some don't see Addison as a true number one receiver.
How about that? It's two picks in a row, Chris.
You guys are rolling right now. Not only two picks in a row that you guys have gotten right, but four straight wide receivers just when you said there would be a run on wide receivers. Man, we got the two experts right here. Who needs all these other guys?
I got a question
here. Blind squirrel finds a nut.
I need some confirmation on this. You know, I'm watching all these guys, you know, all for years and years. These guys are always dressed to the nines, okay? Where do they get these threads?
Well, now they got NIL money.
But did they actually go out, or did these companies come to them and say, hey, we know you're going to be a first-round draft pick. What would you like to wear on draft night? And do they make these clothes for them? How do these guys get all these nice-looking duds they're wearing?
Well, you're asking two of the best fashion experts I know, Coach, this question, me and Braden Soprano. I'll give Braden a crack at answering.
Well, they definitely do that. Have you not? You guys not watched, especially, Chris should probably know. Have you watched Full Swing on Netflix?
Some of it.
You never remember the part where Nike's talking with Colin Morikawa and picking out his outfits and trying to gauge his interest on what he wants to wear and what he wants to show off? Have you seen that episode yet?
I don't think I've seen that yet, but I'm sure you're right.
All these companies are doing the exact same thing with
it's
all
the first
round
picks. It's just
like
they do with the Academy Awards. I mean, they dress these people.
They're just like, hey, do you want to see this?
Somebody address me. I like these clothes these guys are wearing.
You got to get it.
Did you like Jordan Addison's white? White frame sunglasses.
He's got that kind of pinkish type suit. Looks pretty doggone good.
I'd like to see Coach wear that exact same outfit at the next live remote. Suit with the white sunglasses.
I can see Viking fans, really true dyed in the wool Viking fans right now going, really?
Another receiver?
Another offensive weapon? Like,
Skull.
Kevin O'Connell is just going to try and outscore everybody.
Well,
that's all you can do. If you can't play defense, man, you got to try to outscore them.
Yeah,
God,
right.
Their defense was just awful last year, and they don't address it, at least not with the first pick.
Sounds like to me they need to work a lot on onside kicking and training camp.
That's right.
To score and get the ball back.
They're the only ones at the NFL meetings that are trying to put in the XFL rule for kickoffs for going for on 4th and 12 to get the ball back.
Just keep the ball. Keep the ball.
Hey, you know what? I know Kevin very well. I've known him since he was a kid at La Costa Canyon, and I'm very happy for him.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The offensive line better be a lot better.
Welcome back to the 2023 NFL Draft on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Baltimore Ravens select Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College.
Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College.
Play fake, Jakovic rolls right, looking down the middle of the field. He aims for Flowers, who's out there, and he makes the catch miraculously. Touchdown, Boston College! What a grab by Zay Flowers!
He's the eagle in the end zone.
Flowers' final season at BC included career highs in catches, yards, and touchdowns, making him the program's all-time leader in each category. Flowers plays bigger than his frame, is quick off the line, and does damage after the catch. He might drop too many passes, but the playmaking negates that.
All right, Zay Flowers goes to the Baltimore Ravens, where he will indeed have Lamar Jackson throwing passes to him. Jackson and the Ravens reached agreement on that five-year contract today. $260 million, by the way, for Lamar Jackson. And now, along with that, he gets himself a new wide receiver in Zay Flowers. And our guy Braden Suprenant on the money here, Coach, said there'd be a run of wide receivers coming up after that first one was taken. Smith and Jigba with the 20th pick, and guess what? Three in a row now on the wide receivers. Braden, nice job.
Thank you. That was the only one of three picks on my mock draft the first round I hit. I had Zay Flowers of the Ravens at this pick. But the receiver run is right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings do the exact same thing and maybe draft Jordan Addison next.
Make it four Addison, in a row, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Addison could go because he's probably the fourth-rated receiver. But for me, he wasn't the same player. He had some injuries at USC, and I don't know what was all going on. I know he had a little bit of a hamstring. But, you know, if he'd have come out a year ago, he'd have probably been a very high, you know, maybe a top 10, top 12 pick when he was coming out of Pittsburgh as a Biletnikoff Award winner. But, you know, as far as Zay Flowers, four-year starter at Boston, not a real big guy, 5'9", about 170. Elite speed, though, at 4.32. Another guy that, you know, has to catch the ball a little bit better. But he did leave with all the different career records in receiving and yardage and touchdowns, all that good stuff. And a talented guy, but, you know, a lot like Johnson, got to do a little bit more a better job of catching the football, especially in the NFL. I mean, you can't have guys dropping passes in the NFL.
Not at an elite level.
Can't afford to drop any in the NFL. Well, we're coming up on the, boy, I tell you, it's flying along, guys. We've got nine picks left in the first round, and Baltimore Ravens get their wide receiver. Minnesota Vikings, our guy Kevin O'Connell, coming off a very successful first season there as a head coach of the Vikings, and we'll see what they do here. I mean, you look at who's available. Tight ends are up near the top of the board right now. Braden, Dalton Kincaid of Utah, Michael Mayer of Notre Dame. Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia. Coach talked about him being a top 10 possibility. He's fallen all the way down here. He's still not picked in the number 24 slot. And Joey Porter Jr., cornerback. Vikings need some defense, right? I mean, they scored plenty last year. They couldn't stop anybody, though, Coach.
Hey, our buddy Eddie Brown actually had Minnesota taking Will Levis.
Yeah?
I saw Will Levis here, and I also saw a Hendon Hooker here on a couple of mock drafts.
So you guys think it's time
to... a little high.
I don't think so. I mean,
you think it's time to put a little pressure on Kirk Cousins there?
Well, I mean, I think Kirk Cousins for the Vikings is exactly what they expect. I mean, he wins games the regular season, get you to the playoffs, but I don't feel like he's going to get you to a Super Bowl championship.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you.
I feel like, you know, he's taking the Vikings as far as he could take the Vikings because, you know, I just don't think he's a solid NFL quarterback, but I don't view him as a perennial, you know, Super Bowl contender, and he's probably one of the holdbacks that the Vikings have on top of not being able to start anybody.
You know, Kevin O'Connell is an offensive guy, and he'd probably love to have Jordan Addison, but they ought to go after the cornerback, the kid, I believe, still on the board.
Joey Porter
Jr.
Well, they could go Joey Porter, or they could go the kid out of South Carolina, Cam Smith.
Well, the Vikings would be, I mean, I don't know that one player changes everything. Because, I mean, you know, everybody focuses so much on the first-round pick, and they say, well, they need defense, and why'd they select offense? You can select offense here and then get defense with your next six picks and say, well, we addressed our defense with all of our second, third, fourth-round, fifth picks, et cetera. But, you know, we'll see. The Vikings, remember, Adam Thielen, they let him go. That other wide receiver spot, Jalen Reagor, was not much of an addition last year coming over. That trade did not work out well for Minnesota. KJ Osborne, is he ready to step up and start? Maybe they will go with another wide receiver to
and they have to hit on this
Kevin
too.
O'Connell another weapon.
They only got five picks. So they're going to well, they don't have Adam, they don't Adam have a second Thielen. Round
remember
pick.
They let him go, so maybe they'll go after Jordan Addison, but I also think they could go secondary.
All right, well, we'll see shortly with the Vikings, but they
it's their only pick for the next two rounds because they don't have a second round pick.
Okay. Well, that's
just saying.
They better make it work.
Just saying.
The pressure's on the Vikings.
I'm just glad the Vikings didn't draft the TCU Horned Frog because the last two times they've done that, it's just not been good. Well,
who
last
they?
Time.
Who were they?
Well, I had Jeff Gladney. Rest in peace. He was a good kid. You know, got himself into some bad trouble.
Boy.
But he, you know, he was starting to come back at the end. But him and then, you know, and then you mentioned they didn't draft Rieger, but Rieger wasn't very good for them either.
No.
He wasn't really good for Philly either.
No, he wasn't very good for Philly. Didn't they make a straight up swap for him?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with that's nervous about TCU receivers is they haven't really developed well. I mean, Josh Dotson was arguably one of the best receivers in college football when he played for TCU, and he didn't do anything for Washington. And then you go look at Jalen Rieger, first round draft pick, was a bust for Philadelphia. So maybe that's the nervousness on Quentin Johnston. I mean, the track record for TCU receivers hasn't been very good, whereas offensive linemen for TCU has really done extremely well, which you would think a team from the Big 12 that scores a lot of points would have better receivers than they have offensive linemen, but they actually produce some of the best offensive linemen in the National Football League and probably the worst at developing receivers.
Well, Coach, it's your pick. Who are you picking for Kevin O'Connell?
I'm going to go with the SC guy.
I think I'm going to go with the SC guy, yeah.
And you guys are both going with the wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so.
I like Jordan Addison. I would just, you know, he got off to a good start last year. Then he was hurt, and he'd play a game, and then he'd be out another game. I was a little disappointed, I guess, because I like to watch SC play, and they had Caleb Williams, and I thought they'd have been a lot more dynamic. Not that Jordan Addison could play in the secondary and make a tackle against Utah, but it would have been nice if he could have played the entire year and seen what kind of numbers he could have put up.
I got to tell you, that was the worst tackling game I've ever seen.
Nobody on that SC team.
In college football history.
I got news for you. That'll be the worst tackling game you ever see.
Yeah, it was really, really, really bad.
I could have got 11 drunks out of my dad's old bar and tackled better than
man,
that.
That's why Utah doesn't recruit players that SC recruits. I think they just played that in the championship game.
Yeah, that was hard to believe.
That was the worst defensive performance ever. That's a big run. I mean, SC, they used to be legendary defensive players, and I don't know what that was last year.
Ronnie Lott must not have been a happy man.
They look like a 7-on-7 team.
Only thing I can tell you is they better use that NIL money on defense this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that they turned the offense around pretty good. That quarterback's pretty good at USC.
Yeah, he sure is.
Coming back for another year. All right, the Vikings pick is in. We'll get the announcement here shortly before we get to the top of the hour, and then we'll be getting set, not really to wind it down. We still got a little ways to go. You know, as fast as they've gone, guys, it's still been 3.5. It's going to be a good 3.5 hours.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I couldn't spend more enjoyable 3.5 hours with two guys like you. Let
we
me
are
tell
having
you,
a ball.
Night.
We are
what
having
can a guy want on a Thursday night?
As Marv Levy used to say, where else would you rather be?
Having the time of my life.
Great, man. You know what? I would have been all irritated. I'd have been sitting at home here. If we didn't do this draft show, I'd be watching the draft, and I'd be all irritated because we weren't doing the draft.
I agree. I'd be doing the exact same thing. I would be sitting at home
not watching the draft if we weren't doing this. So that's the difference between you guys.
Gotta be playing softball.
Yeah, you'd be watching retape of Michael Jordan hitting a 15-foot jumper.
That's right. Hey, maybe you guys are going to hit one
here. Let's go to the podium.
23rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC.
Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC.
He's going to throw it long. Does. Caught by Addison at the 20. Stays on her feet. He'll go all the way. One play, 75 yards. Touchdown, USC, Jordan Addison.
Addison is dangerous inside and out. He's a polished pass catcher with experience in two systems. 2 years ago at Pitt, he won the Biletnikoff Award as the nation's top receiver with 100 catches and 17 scores. Lacking elite size and speed, some don't see Addison as a true number one receiver.
How about that? It's two picks in a row, Chris.
You guys are rolling right now. Not only two picks in a row that you guys have gotten right, but four straight wide receivers just when you said there would be a run on wide receivers. Man, we got the two. We got the two experts right here. Who needs all these other guys?
I got a question.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
I need some confirmation on this. You know, I'm watching all these guys. You know, all for years and years. These guys are always dressed to the nines. Okay, where do they get these? Where do they get these threads?
Well, now they got NIL money. They
But
did they actually go out, or did these companies come to them and say, hey, we know you're going to be a first-round draft pick. What would you like to wear on draft night? And do they make these clothes for them? How do these guys get all these nice-looking duds they're wearing?
Well, you're asking two of the best fashion experts I know, Coach, this question, me and Braden Soprano. I'll give Braden a crack at answering.
Well, they definitely do that. Have you not? You guys not watch, especially, I don't, well, Chris should probably know. Have you watched Full Swing on Netflix? Has Gravy talked to you about it?
Some of it, yeah.
You never remember the part where Nike's talking with Colin Morikawa and picking out his outfits and trying to gauge his interest on what he wants to wear and what he wants to show off? Have you seen that episode yet?
I don't think I've seen that yet, but I'm sure you're right.
All these companies are doing the exact same thing with
it's
all the
first
round
picks. It's just like they do with the Academy Awards. I mean, they dress these people.
They're just like, hey, do you want to see
somebody
this?
Somebody dress me. I like these clothes these guys are wearing.
You got to get it.
Did you like Jordan Addison's white? Sunglasses.
He's got that kind of pinkish type suit. Looks pretty doggone good.
I'd like to see Coach wear that exact same outfit at the next live remote. Suit with the white sunglasses.
I can see Viking fans, really true dyed in the wool Viking fans right now going, really?
Another receiver?
Another offensive weapon? Like,
Skull.
Kevin O'Connell's just going to try and outscore everybody.
Skull.
That's all you can do. If you can't play defense, man, you got out, try to outscore them.
Yeah,
God,
right.
Their defense was just awful last year, and they don't address it, at least not with the first pick.
Sounds like to me they need to work a lot on onside kicking in training camp.
That's right.
To score and get the ball back.
They're the only ones at the NFL meetings that are trying to put in the XFL rule for kickoffs for going for it on 4th and 12 to get the ball back.
Just keep the ball. Keep the ball.
Hey, you know what? I know Kevin very well. I've known him since he was a kid at La Costa Canyon, and I'm very happy for him. I'm happy for his family. He's a good kid. He's always done things the right way, and I was very happy to see all the success he had last year.
Oh, yeah. I was rooting for him all the way, without question.
Chris,
all
we right. got a trade.
All right, we'll get to trade in a minute. You want to do it now before the top?
We can go to break.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got 8 picks left in the first round. A trade ahead of that, so we'll let you know what's going on when we come back. Top of the hour, quick break, then more of the 2023 National Football League Draft here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to the John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.